ओम ज्ञानचिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम कंठ 1 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 16। इन दिस purport, Srila Prabhupada has elaborated on the word bhava. The word bhava has various meanings, such as attitude, feelings, experience. Here, it is translated as it specifically refers to the transcendental stage just prior to pure love of God. Development of this bhava is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Eto Shabhav, Jai Jape Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. It is the natural consequence of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra that one will develop the transcendental feelings for the Lord. Narad Muni attained to this bhava on performing the meditation system by fixing his mind on the form of the Lord. Now, the yogis who may not be devotees, they may also meditate on the form of the Lord. But generally, those yogis who are not specifically devotees who meditate on the form of the Lord, even if they see the form of the Lord, they do not attain the bhava that Narad Muni attained. The technique of the yogis and the technique of the devotional, or the technique of the non-devotional yogis and the technique of the devotional yogis is practically the same. But the yogis, on seeing the form of the Lord, they do not feel bhava. The result of following that technique is the same for both the yogis and for the non-devotional yogis and the devotional yogis. But the result is, and the result may be apparently the same. They both get to see the form of the Lord. However, the bhava or attitude of the non-devotional yogi and that of the devotional yogi upon attaining the result of seeing the Lord is different. The devotee attains the bhava of transcendental feelings, whereas the yogi simply thinks, oh, now I'm successful. Why is this? Because the yogis, the non-devotional yogis, from the very beginning, they had no bhava or feelings for the Lord. They had no particular desire to attain such feelings for the Lord. And therefore, they are attracted to a process they are attracted to a process that does not reveal feelings for the Lord. Now, where did Narad Muni attain this bhava from? Ultimately, that bhava is in everyone. That bhava is the natural characteristic of the jiva. That bhava of feelings for Krishna, loving feelings for Krishna. But to bring out that bhava, it is required to come into contact with others who have that bhava.
Anal.
Just like fire is present within wood. But unless fire is applied to wood, the fire which is latent within that wood does not manifest. So in the same way, the latent love of God that is within everyone's heart becomes manifest when one comes in contact with those who have that bhava, with pure devotees of the Lord. Narad Muni had association with such devotees. And by following their instructions, he was able to attain to the same perfection. What is the most important thing we have to receive from devotees? Well, obviously the answer is Krishna. Krishna is everything. If you get Krishna, you get everything. But it may be that one has got Krishna, but not Krishna Prem. Krishna was present in the prison house of Kamsa within the womb of Devaki. So apparently it would seem that Kamsa had got Krishna, but he had not got Krishna Prem. So one can apparently have Krishna but not have Krishna Prem. Everyone has Krishna. Krishna is in everyone's heart. But not everyone appreciates it. Narottam Das Thakur states that Tomara Hridaye Sada Govinda Vishram. Speaking of the Vaishnav, that Govinda is always present in your heart. And Krishna is present in everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Jyuna Tishtati. Sarva Bhutanam. In everyone's heart, the Lord is present. But he is not manifest to the non-devotees in the same way as it is manifest to the devotees. The Lord is present in the hearts of non-devotees as a function. But he's present within the hearts of the devotees being enraptured by their love for him. Sādhavaṁ hṛdayaṁ māhyaṁ sādhunaṁ hṛdayaṁ tvaham madanyatthena jānanti nāhaṁ tebhyo manāgapi. The Lord says that devotees are my heart and I am the heart of the devotees because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. So devotees truly have Krishna because they have tied him, pranayalasana. He ties them and they tie him by the ropes of love. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita we find the statement that Tama de sarva sreshta nama sankirtan. No, what is that? Tama de nama sreshta nama sankirtan. What is that? Bhaktyanga madde sreshta nava vidha bhakti. Krishna, Krishna prema dite, Krishna prema Krishna dite dhare mahashakti. Bhajane madde sreshta nava vidha bhakti. Krishna prema Krishna dite dhare mahashakti. That the 64 angas of devotional service, among them the 9 kinds, beginning with Shravanam Kirtan, are the best. Because they have tremendous potency to give Krishna and Krishna Prema. So one may think, I have understood Krishna. One can do a PhD thesis on Krishna. But Krishna can actually be captured by the bhav of pure devotion. So Narad Muni had attained that bhav by association with devotees. One has to learn from pure devotees who is Krishna and what is devotional service. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva. There are so many tattvas, that phenomena that one has to understand in devotional service. One has to learn the philosophy and the techniques of devotional service. However, simply learning the philosophy and following the techniques do not in and of themselves give Krishna bhakti. Association with pure devotees is essential. Without that, the love of God cannot develop. Krishna bhakti, what is it? Krishna bhakti mool hoy sadhu sangha. The very root of Krishna bhakti is association with devotees. Krishna bhakti janmai tahe puna mukhya anga. And even when one's love of Krishna is developed, still association with devotees is essential. Krishna bhakti janmai. We have to learn from devotees what is the philosophy and practice of devotional service. However, it's also stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that sadhu sangha sarva shastri koi lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. That all the shastras say that even a moment's association with pure devotee can bestow all perfection. So how is that possible? How in one moment will the pure devotee teach the philosophy and techniques of devotional service? And that is not possible. So this suggests that even more than the techniques and philosophy, what the pure devotees convey is the bhav of pure devotional service, the attitude of pure devotional service. That's why it's said that devotional service is not a mechanical process. One can and must learn the philosophy and techniques of devotional service. But without actually developing the bhav or attitude of pure devotional service, then pure devotional service will not manifest within your heart. all the rules and regulations of devotional life are simply meant to awaken bhava or feelings for Krishna. But for that to happen, the bhava or attitude has to be one of desiring to attain pure devotion. And that bhava is transmitted by pure devotees. Otherwise, even by following techniques and studying philosophy, that may awaken the desire to attain pure devotional service, but that cannot be perfect and cannot be complete without the association of pure devotees. And so there are so many cases of pure devotee, just literally by a moment's association, changing people's lives, even without saying a word. Devotees have described that just by Prabhupada's looking at them, they decided, now I have to take up bhakti. One devotee described how, disciple of Prabhupada described how Prabhupada never said, he never said anything to Prabhupada in his whole life. But just by some good luck, the first time he came to the temple, he was holding the umbrella over Prabhupada, the umbrella that's used for photography. The photographer asked, you hold this umbrella. Because all the devotees were out greeting Prabhupada and he was setting up the photographic equipment and there was no one else in the temple but these two. So he said, here, you hold this. So as a result, he was standing right next to Prabhupada throughout the lecture. In the course of the lecture, Prabhupada said very emphatically, you must surrender. For the only time during the whole lecture, he turned and looked at the hippie holding this. And then he thought, yes, I must surrender. Prabhupada is telling me, I must surrender. And then he knew nothing about the Krishna consciousness movement, but immediately his whole life. This is the power of a pure devotee's association. Of course, he would never recommend that you just look at him. You have to hear him. But there are many instances of great devotees who they transfer that bhava or attitude of pure devotion just by their presence. So many devotees described that I went to see Prabhupada and I had so many problems I wanted to describe to him, possible things that I couldn't resolve, and so complex. But just by coming in Prabhupada's presence, then I realized actually I had no problem. Because Prabhupada, being fully Krishna conscious, he had no problem. And just going into Prabhupada's presence, the devotees could realize that all these so-called problems, they're all due to my not being Krishna conscious. So, this virtual master, he is Jnanadatta, he gives knowledge. But what is to be absorbed, most importantly, is the bhava or the attitude of devotional service that he carries. If we associate with rascals, we'll have rascal bhava. If we associate with politicians, we'll have a political bhava. If we associate with meat eaters, we'll think, meat eating, it's also all right. Meat eaters bhava. If we associate with mayavadis, we'll get mayavadi bhava. If we associate with pure devotees, then their strong mood of devotion to Krishna will pierce through our the contaminations covering our hearts and make us realize that we are only meant to serve Krishna. The bhava of simply desiring to serve Krishna without any personal motivation is that which is transmitted in parampara. Some of Prabhupada's god brothers would accuse him that you are not properly following our Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Because Prabhupada did some of the techniques of devotional service. Actually, he didn't alter any of the techniques, but some of the details he made some adjustments to, which was required for preaching Krishna consciousness outside of Bharata. It's interesting that some of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's contemporaries, They also accused him of not following Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Srila Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj lived on the open bank of the Ganga, or sometimes under the awning of a boat. The awning, it means in a country boat they have this made out of cane or grass, this covering. Sometimes he would go naked, or sometimes he would take cloth that had not been burned from the dead bodies, and he would make some coping out of that. Therefore, he is described as Sakshad Vairagya Murti, directly the personification, or the very representation of renunciation, or non-attachment. And his disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, lived in well-constructed brick buildings, especially on major preaching functions, meeting very big people. He would dress in fine clothes. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj specifically told Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur not to go to Calcutta. But he stayed and preached in Calcutta. So it would appear that he was not following his guru. Practically, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had two gurus. In his teachings and his very being was infused with Bhaktivinoda. However, there were some differences which Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was accused of not following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his writings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had recommended that it is best for Vaishnavas to be grihasthas. But in so many cases, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur pulled men out of their family life and gave them sannyas. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings decried the depravity of pseudo-Vaishnavas, in his personal dealings, he was more diplomatic and sometimes made friends with them, apparently. Although in his writings, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had decried the depravity of so-called devotees, yet decried means he had protested against. And depraved means fallen. Yes.
Poverty?
No, not deprived. Depraved.
Depraved?
Although in his writings, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had protested against the illicit behavior of so-called Vaishnavas. In his practical dealings, he was polite with them, and even some of them he befriended, apparently. Whereas Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur waged war against these pseudo-Vaishnavas. He was like Parashuram. His tongue was like, his tongue and his pen was like the axe of Parashuram. So it appeared that he differed from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. However, foolish persons who make such accusations do not understand how the bhav of Bhaktisiddhanta is the bhav of Bhaktivinoda. How the bhav of Bhaktivedanta is the bhav of Bhaktisiddhanta. How the bhav of these great acharyas, everything they do is simply to fulfill the desire of their acharya. As Srila Prabhupada once stated, that everything he's doing is, well, there may be so many reasons for doing it, to spread Krishna consciousness and so on, out of compassion for the conditioned souls. But all these, although these are valid reasons for his preaching activities, the core reason for his preaching, for everything that he's doing, is simply to satisfy his Guru Maharaj. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he simply lived to fulfill the mission of his guru. Without that mission, a pure devotee cannot live in this world even for a moment. He has no reason to be in this world. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Sapadantikam. We offer respectful obeisances to Srila Rupa Goswami, craving his favor, because he has attained the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has attained the favor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the extent that he has understood what is the bhav of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is his manobhishta, his heart's desire. So this, one should follow the rules and regulations and the try to understand the philosophy as given by the spiritual master. But over and above this, one should try to capture the bhav, that bhav of a totally selfless devotion to Krishna.
So,
Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Out of all the living entities wandering in the universe, one who is very fortunate, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, gets the seed of the Kripa of pure devotion. What is that seed? That is the bhav of the attitude that I must act, speak and think in a manner that is satisfying to Krishna. That bhav in the beginning is mixed up with so many, mixed up within the mind with so many nonsensical desires. But as that is cultivated by hearing and chanting, the illuminating power of that bhav dispels the darkness of illicit desires. As that feeling intensifies, then it becomes very strong desire to attain the Lord, which is the only price to attain the Lord.
Only
price. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam koti janma sukritayana labhyate. This Krishna bhakti rasa bhav, these loving feelings for Krishna, if that is available at any place, one should certainly purchase it. What is the price? The price is very strong desire to attain it. The even millions of pious activities and millions of births cannot compare to the bhakti lata bij that develops into a strong desire to attain the Lord. This analogy of paying the price is also there in the description of Nityananda Prabhu's Nam Hata. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Patiyache Nama Hata Jivera Karan. This in Nadiya, in Godrum, the great personality Nityananda has spread out his sheet in the bazaar, in the bazaar of the holy name. And this is for the benefit of the jivas. And in the marketplace, he has his goods spread out and he's calling for customers. Shadhavanjan, Shadhavanjan. He's calling out, who should come to purchase this holy name? Those who have faith. Faith is the price for entrance into the chanting of the holy name. That faith has to develop into strong desire to attain the Lord. Ado shadha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato nartha nivritti set tato nishtha vichistata tata saktis tato bhava. What is it? Premabhyudan chati. Ruchistha, I missed out ruchistha. Tata ruchist anasaktis tata bhava tato bhava. So, stage by stage, shraddha, faith, Prabhupada has described in this book, initial faith leads one to associate with devotees who will engage one in devotional service, by which the dirty things in the heart are removed, then one is firmly fixed in devotional service. Then one gains taste for the devotional service. Tata shaktis. Then one becomes very much attached to devotional service. And then is the bhav or transcendental emotions which are prior to and intrinsic to the stage of pure love of God, prem. Bhav, this often we are comparing what are the different Vaishnava sampradayas. And some actually rather foolish persons, they like to fight that our Sri Vaishnava philosophy is best or our Madhva sampradaya philosophy is best. And they argue over philosophical abstrusities. But they don't see the underlying bhav of the acharyas is the same. The underlying bhav is one of a pure devotion to Krishna. Basically it's the same, but there are differences also. Transcendental differences, not material differences. Yashoda Mai is a gopi, Radharani is a gopi, but their feelings towards Krishna are quite different. But Yashoda Mai has tremendous affection for Srimati Radharani and vice versa, because the underlying bhav of both of them is a full devotion to Krishna. So the bhav of different of devotees may be so different that they cannot even live with other devotees. The bhav of Hanuman is so different to that of the Vrajavasis that Hanuman, we don't find him in Vrajavasis.
அனுமானுடைய பாவமும் ரஜவாசிகளின் பாவமும்
வித்தியாசமானது. We don't find gopis in Ramlila. When the sages at Dandakaranya, they wanted to develop the same pure bhav for Lord Ram that Sita Devi had, he granted their wish but said, you have to come and join me when I come as Krishna. So the bhav is the underlying bhav of all devotees is the same, but it is manifested in each and every devotee in a different way. And that gives pleasure to Krishna. That everyone is different and loves Krishna in a somewhat different way gives Krishna unlimited pleasure. Thus there are unlimited jivas. Because Krishna's capacity and desire to enjoy is unlimited. So the bhav of all genuine devotees, the basic bhav is the same. It is necessary to understand the philosophy of pure devotion, otherwise one may be misled by the false or mixed bhavs of not properly situated devotees. There are many persons who are reputed as great devotees whose bhav is not accepted by genuine pure devotees as genuine. Person of mixed motives can never satisfy the Lord. Mixed motives. One may cry as he chants Hare Krishna, but if within his heart his motive is not wholly and solely to satisfy the Lord, his crying will not satisfy, cannot satisfy. Or if one adopts some speculative process of devotional service, that also cannot satisfy the Lord. There are many popular folk stories of how people offer meat out of love to the Lord and the Lord accepts it. But these aren't only folk stories. This cannot be accepted as a it is upasiddhantic. It cannot be accepted as factual. So that the techniques are there. Techniques of devotional service are there. One should follow them, but with the genuine desire, that genuine bhav, seva bhav, desire to serve the Lord. Now we also find in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes one girl, I think her name was Chandrakanti, who danced all night to invoke the pleasure of the Lord. He cites this as an example of how dancing before the Lord is pleasing to him and gives the result of pure devotional service. So we may think, well, I'll dance all night and please the Lord. Or if I chant maybe 64 rounds and fast fully, then the Lord will be pleased with me. But we can understand that it's not simply the dancing, but the attitude of wanting to please the Lord, which is what has pleased him. Tirupati is close to here. So many thousands of people every day go for darshan of the Lord. The Lord is pleased with them. He is pleased to see that they have come away from their materialistic way of life. To come to see him and call his name Govinda, Govinda. But they cannot fully satisfy Govinda. If one person comes and prays to Govinda, Srinivas, that you please engage me in your service as you desire, that will be more pleasing to Srinivas than thousands and thousands of people coming and praying that you please fulfill my own personal desire and putting lakhs and crores of rupees in the hundi. Only this bhav of pure devotional service can actually satisfy the Lord. Therefore, the bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas are recognized because they nourish this bhav of pure devotion to the Lord. And one can actually be considered within the Sampradaya if he himself cultures that bhav. One who has accepted initiation within the pure Vaishnava Sampradaya but is cultivating desires other than pure devotional service is not actually within the Sampradaya, is not actually a disciple. And even if he accepts disciples himself, he cannot transmit pure devotional service because he doesn't have it. Therefore, in the beginning and all throughout all the stages of devotional service, bhav is crucial. As Srila Prabhupada writes, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So from the very beginning, what is one's bhav, that will determine one's advancement. And how far can we go in pure devotional service? There is no limit. The bhav can intensify unlimitedly. That is why the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, while offering all respect to the shuddha bhav of other Vaishnava Acharyas, they ascertain the bhav that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught to be superlative. Okay, I'll try to say in easier language. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they worship the shuddha bhakti bhav of Acharyas in other sampradayas. They recognize that this is the same bhav that they themselves are cultivating. But at the same time, they recognize or they ascertain the what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to be more the intensest manifestation of that bhav. Jodi gaur na hoito, tobe ki hoito, kemane dharitam de. The associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sings that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, how could we live? Radha Mahima Prima Rasha Srimad Jagate Janatoke. The glories of Srimati Radharani, which is the ultimate limit of Prem Bhakti. Who could have informed the world of this? Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri Prabhesha Chaturisha. The ultimate achievement is to worship Krishna within the sweet groves of Vrindavan that are so pleasing to him. Varaja Jugatiya Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. the bhava bhakti, the intensely emotional, loving devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan, who could have transmitted that? Who has the power to do so? Except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narad Muni developed bhava by meditating upon the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. Is there any question?
Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned that it is a bhava, it's very, very essential. I transcendental feeling that the Lord is very essential.
Yeah, there's no such thing as very essential. Either it's essential or it isn't.
But the attitude of the one person is always the first in bhakti. And then we told that when he comes with the association of a pure devotee, he always needs an association of a pure devotee, Sangha, where he can be staying bhakti process. But the pure devotee association only stays for a little moment. Like after that, the pure devotee goes away from him. How he can still be in the process?
If you only have the question is, if you only have a moment's association with a pure devotee, how can you maintain that bhav? Well, that bhav, it is transformatory. One has to capture that bhava within the heart by following the processes of devotional service. Just like I told that incident of the hippie who in a flash of a moment his whole life changed, and he knew that I have to surrender to Prabhupada and to Krishna. So that bhava entered his heart. But that didn't mean that he didn't have to follow the practices of devotional service. If he hadn't done so, he could not have captured and developed that bhava. As I was explaining, that bhava enters the heart in seed form, and one has to cultivate it by taking instructions from the spiritual master.
When many people are there with bhava, different bhavas, I mean, when they meet with these devotees, with each other, different kind of bhava, without, we cause some problems between some devotees, national or spiritual masters. How to avoid disturbances from devotees?
How to avoid disturbances even among devotees caused by different attitudes? Disturbances are not necessarily bad if the shared attitude of all is simply to please Krishna. We should not be concerned if it is disturbing to us. If it is disturbing to Krishna, that is not desirable. If by our own neophyte attitude we become disturbed, that is our own foolishness. But if we desire, if due to conflicting desires to serve Krishna there is disturbance, and that is very pleasing to Krishna. We have to distinguish between the mundane feelings and transcendental feelings. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam Kijaya. Yes. This divine grace.